If you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10 today, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we're going to be starting in verse number 17. The Bible says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" There's a question. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? "And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.'" Now, that's a bold statement. "And he answered, and then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." We're going to pause right there, but I want to talk about three big questions today. In this passage and in some of the other passage we hadn't got to yet. Are you ready? All right, you got your pen. Charlie said, some people wanted notes. I said, well, the problem is I got to have it done in plenty of time to make you notes. But number one, three big questions, the question of life. Now, I can't believe I got to look through here. And then the question of riches. And the question of rewards. Now you're on your own from here on out. We have in this scenario, we have a man we call the rich young ruler. We call him the rich young ruler. It doesn't say it in one passage, but over in Matthew in the gospel, it calls him a young man. Over in Luke, he's called a certain ruler. And here in Mark, we know that he's rich. So he's the rich young ruler. And he comes up to Jesus and he has a question. He's seen Jesus' teachings. He's listened to him and he comes up to him and he says, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good?" Number one, he came to the right person to find out about eternal life. We don't get eternal life by working for it. We don't get eternal life by going somewhere else. This morning in Bible study, we were introduced a little bit to Gnosticism, right? The knowledge that, and people work their way up and they're on this level. We like that, don't we? When we play games, we like to grow up a level, or when we part of anything, if you join the Masons or anything like that, you work up to a level. When you join the Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts, you get these badges, you get up to this level and this level till you get to Eagle Scout. We like to do that stuff, but that's not how it works. He says, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Eternal life is received through Jesus Christ. John 3:15 tells us that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible makes it clear where eternal life comes from. John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." There's a balance in everything. John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Do you know Jesus? In 10:28, he says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." That's the thing that we have, and that's the thing that this rich man wanted, this rich young ruler. He had a life of riches. He had the wealth to do things. You know, when there's something about money. There's something appealing about money, right? I know I'm talking just plain language today, But when you're facing bills, there's something about having the money to pay them. Well, the rich man, when he faces the bills, it's just a matter of paying somebody to pay him. And we're talking about somebody that's rich, rich. But he doesn't have to worry about the bills. When it comes time to eat, he doesn't have to worry about eating. If he wants to lose weight, he'll just hire a chef and not think about the food anymore. Just eat what's put in front of him. Put me on a diet. When you've got enough money, the car breaks down, get a new one. So he had all these things. I'm not saying he had a car. There wasn't cars back then. Don't go there with me. But the rich man, he had all these things, yet he realized something was missing. You get to that point, you ever had enough of something and it really wasn't that important to you? He had all these things. He had servants to take care of him. He had the money to pay the bills. He had the money to buy the food. He had the money to, if he got tired or something, he could go on vacation and he could get away from it all. He had all these things, but he realized there's something that he doesn't have. One day, it's all going to end. One day, you reach the end of the road. One day, you enter into the blackness, and you don't know what's on the other side. And he said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Something that any rich man would give up anything to find out when he gets to the end of his road. Doctors can only do so much. Doctors can only patch you up so many times. It's like an old boat. You can only be patched up so many times, and then it's going to go the way of the bottom of the ocean. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what I'm trying to tell you. In 1 John, he wrote so that we could know. He said, and this is the record that God hath given to us. That's us that are saved, us that have trusted in Christ, us that have believed in the sacrifice that he died for us on the cross. He paid for our sins on the cross. If you've placed your trust in his payment, you have eternal life. He says, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. It's that simple. You either have Jesus or you don't. I mean, we complicate things. If you're going through life and you're saying, I hope I have eternal life, you either have Jesus or you don't. I'm sorry, if you want it more complicated, you had to go somewhere else to some other preacher, because I don't know how to complicate that any. You either trust Jesus Christ or you don't. Now, I'll grant you this, that in our life on this earth, it's kind of like you get a bicycle. You ever got a new bicycle? All the parts are there. But as far as your walk with Christ here on earth, you're looking at a whole bunch of different parts to put together. Because there's pieces of you here, pieces of you, it's putting it together. But none of that putting you together, and some of you look confused. Let me explain that. Are any of you confused? Nod your head, yes, I'll feel better. Nobody's confused? Charlie's always confused. I appreciate it, Charlie. But, you know, I use the analogy of the bicycle because everything that you need is provided through the Holy Spirit. We've overcome sin. We've overcome all of these things. Yet we still fall into sin. Yet we still fight the flesh. All of the pieces are there to walk in the Spirit, to walk with Christ. But there's some things to put together. That's where the Bible comes in. That's where reading the Word. That's where understanding how God deals with people. When you read the Old Testament and you see the kings that took the kingdom away, took Israel away from God and went after other gods, and you saw the punishment that came on them, and then you saw them repenting and turning to God. In your own life, you mess up, you fall away. You got to understand, that's what God wants you to do. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite spirit. Oh, Lord, thou will not refuse. You know, it's turning to the Lord with a humble heart. Turning back to him. But your eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. It's that simple. the Bible says that you can know. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's belief. It's trust in Christ. He's coming to Jesus Christ. Now, there's something you have to understand. Jesus hadn't died on the cross at this time. He's coming to him for eternal life. And this is important to understand because Jesus is about to show him something. He's about to show him something about himself, something that he doesn't even realize that he's missing. He's about to show this rich young ruler. In John 6:68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. When Jesus asked him, everybody had left Jesus. Jesus had said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they all left. They said, oh, this is, we can't handle this. The disciples, the other disciples, but the 12 that were left, he said, will you go also? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. In John 5:40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. So do you know or do you just hope so? You should know. That's something we want to establish in this church. That's what we want people to understand. Hey, Lord, forgive me if I get to preaching for 3 years, and I said this last week, if I get to preaching for a long time and somebody doesn't understand how to be saved. It can be so easy to take it for granted. It can be so easy. And I would like to make the commitment to you that you bring somebody, they'll hear the gospel. I don't want you to worry that you bring somebody that they won't hear the gospel that week, that they might, that the preacher might be off on a tangent. I pray, God, for consistency, for steadfastness, that you'll be able to hear the gospel every week. But not just the gospel, to hear the word of God. So do you know or do you just hope so? If you're just hoping so, then you're trusting in something else beside the finished work of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said unto him, verse number 18, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. And there's a challenge. You know, no man was good enough to die on the cross for our sins, except for one man. No man was good enough except for one man. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone has fallen short of that. There was only one man, that was the man Christ Jesus. There is none good but God. Jesus Christ was the only one that could pay our penalty on the cross. There's many good men in the world. There's a lot of men that have been helpful, that have been there every time somebody has needed them. There have been a lot of men that have sacrificed their life. Last week, we had 9/11. And you can't say we celebrated it, we remembered it. 9/11, and to think about those firemen. It was mentioned about one fireman that was in a tunnel, and I can't remember his name, but the traffic had stopped in the tunnel. He ran out of that tunnel and ran to the towers. They never saw him again. They never found his body. Many men gave their lives for other people, but only one man could give his life for our soul as a payment penalty for sin. None good but God. And he said, there is one good but one, that is God. Verse 19. And then Jesus answered this question. He asked, how shall I inherit eternal life? He's come to the end of himself. He realizes he can only go so far. Jesus said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he lists five are listed over in Luke. We know in the commandments, there's two groups of commandments. The first group of commandments are loving God. When Jesus was asked about the great commandments, one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. There's not a lot of room left for you. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And even now we have trouble fulfilling that, don't we? Because you keep popping up. But Jesus said unto him, look, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He said, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You got these two groups. Love God, love others. When you love God, you'll put him first. You'll love him with all your heart, mind, and soul. When you love others, you won't kill them. It's that simple. When you love others, you won't mess with your neighbor's wife. When you love others, you won't covet what they have. You won't desire to take it. You won't steal from them. You won't lie to others. You'll tell them the truth, even when it hurts. Sometimes it's best to keep your mouth shut and just not say anything, but you'll tell them the truth even when it hurts. Brother Charlie was, I asked him to critique my preaching. He said, you did bad. I said, well, that's not helpful. He said, you asked me to be a critic. I'm not fishing, trust me. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he listed out these commandments. And he said, all these have I kept. These commandments have I kept. I was going to go into doctrinal for Old Testament salvation, New Testament. I'm going to skip that for now. But he said, all these have I kept from my youth. And Jesus didn't correct him. The Bible says, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. He had kept all these things. You know, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto faith into Christ, Galatians says. The law, when we look at the commandments, it teaches us what sin is. In the Old Testament, they had to keep the commandments. And they were saved by faith too. But they had to keep the law. Now, I'm fighting myself here. Over in Ezekiel, he talks about preaching to those keeping the law. But he had kept all of these laws except for Jesus is able to find out the one that he hadn't kept. Can you follow me on that? Because I just got real confused. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But Jesus was teaching this man a lesson. He said, yet one thing thou lackest. There's people that I've kept this commandment, I've kept this other commandment, and I've kept this commandment, but there's something lacking. And in this man's life, Jesus was able to pinpoint it. And it was, you know, one of the commandments that he didn't mention was covetousness. So the man could say he had kept all those other commandments. I hadn't killed anybody. I hadn't defrauded anybody. But covetousness. And he answered and said unto him, Master, I have observed all these from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He wanted eternal life, and he came to Jesus asking for it. You know, I come down here just to talk about it. He wanted eternal life, and he came to Jesus asking for it. And Jesus told him, keep the commandments. And he said, you lack one. He said, go and sell everything you have. Jesus has a way, and that Bible has a way of finding that thing that you're not so lined up on. And he had the comfort. He had the wealth. He trusted in his riches. He didn't want to give that up. And he walked away from that eternal life that he thought he desired so bad. It was the cost of discipleship. Let's read a little further, shall we? Let's talk about the question of riches. Verse number 23, and Jesus looked round about, and he saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Now, in some of your Bibles, it says, how hard is it for them to enter into the kingdom of God? Let's stick with this one. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Does that mean that a rich man can't get saved? We'll keep going. and the disciples were astonished at his words. Now, the disciples were astonished at his words because when you look in the Old Testament, the economy in the Old Testament was that when God blessed somebody, when someone was right with God, they received blessings. When the Jewish nation was promised, even through Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curse thee, I will increase your flocks, I will increase your herds, you know, I will increase your crops. When someone was right with God, when the nation was right with God, God blessed them with material blessing. So a rich man was somebody who was right with God because God had blessed him. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we look at Abraham, he had great flocks. God blessed him. When we look at Jacob, he had great flocks. He had great wealth. When we look at David, when we go through the Bible, we look at King Solomon. King Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom and riches. Great wealth was a sign of being right with God. So Jesus said, how hardly are those that have riches to enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at this. Because here was a man that was greatly blessed to God, but you're saying that he can't enter into the kingdom of God? But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's where you're placing your trust. He was placing his trusting was in riches. He didn't want to let that go. He's not willing to let that go. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean that rich people are evil. You got to understand that. It's not to knock down rich people, but it's a matter. It becomes a block. It becomes a stumbling block to them. To understand that these riches aren't that important. Now, it's easy for us to look at the man that has $1 billion. You used to say a million. Now you got to up the ante. To look at a man that has $1 billion, he has yachts and has everything, and to say, oh, yeah, well, see, it's going to be hard for him to get into the kingdom of God. But the problem is, we can take it down to our level. Jesus had found the one thing that was this man's hang-up. What's the thing in your life that's your hang-up? What's the hobby? What's the thing that pulls you away from God? What's the thing that's a stumbling block to you when we get it down to our level? Jesus said, how hard it is for them to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, I've heard some preachers on the radio, and there was a couple commentaries that go into the eye of the needle. Well, that's a gate over in Jerusalem. And the truth is, as I understand it, this eye of the needle gate in Jerusalem was built in medieval times. It wasn't even around then. The fact of the matter is, a literal needle, you take a camel and try to shove him through the eye. It's impossible. And he says it here. He said, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? This rich man can't be saved. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. It's the things that are impossible to us, and you could go off into all kinds of miracle working and all that. No. The stumbling block for this rich man was the requirement, selling everything, giving himself to Jesus Christ. But God made a way. We can't work our way to heaven, but God made a way through Jesus Christ. God made all things possible. If the rich man can't be saved, then how shall us who are poor be saved? What chance do we have? They're the ones with success. They're the ones who can get things done. A rich man can get into heaven just like the rest of us, but there are those who have learned that they can't rely on this world. They've been let down by this world. The rich man has learned to trust in his riches. He solves problems with money, lack of time to take care of the house, hire a housekeeper. Wanted to get away, take a vacation, get into legal trouble, hire a lawyer. Need to lose weight, hire a chef, and don't worry about what you eat. 1 Timothy 6:10, when it talks about riches, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Everybody says, for money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money. It's when you put it before God. So the question of rewards. Verse 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. They left behind their nets, they left behind their fishing, and they followed Jesus Christ. And Jesus answered and said, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left, that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. We could stop right there. It sounds good. You're going to receive hundredfold. You'll receive blessings following Jesus Christ. But then it adds, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. God doesn't promise us a comfy bed. God doesn't promise us the riches and wealth, but what God does promise us is eternal life. And he promises us the grace to get through our trials. I get a magazine because I asked for it. But Voice of the Martyrs, y'all have heard of that. Now, I had brought it up before, you know, and I said, well, they spent a bunch of money on their building. I'm not sure about them. But you read the magazine, and you see what people are going through in other parts of the world. It's hard for us to understand here in America what somebody gives up to follow Jesus Christ. And it's hard to understand for someone, they have a shop over in Syria. They're a shopkeeper. And there was one, he was just a nominal Christian. He wasn't really following Christ. He just grew up as a Christian or whatnot. And they were staying there to keep the shop. And then the ISIS comes in and takes over. He gets kidnapped. He gets beaten. He gets his toes smacked. He gets tortured. And all he can think is, he's praying. He said, God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll serve you. Now, that may seem like an odd deal, but he's finally praying to the God that he's been claiming. And it was after they had taken him out. They had kneeled him down. They had told him to stay right. They had told him to count to 50. And as he counted to 50, he wondered which number the shot was going to land on. He was expecting to be killed. He was hoping they would use a bullet and not a knife. And as he's there, he heard a sound he didn't expect to hear. He heard the trucks driving off. And they just left him there. And then he began to learn about Jesus, and he turned his life over to him. I mean, there's story after story. That's a real brief account of what happened. You know, there's more detail in that. But then there's others whose whole family are Muslims. And as soon as they accept Christ, they lose everything. They lose father, mother, brothers, sisters, lands. They give up their houses. They give up everything. There was a family that was in Iraq that the husband had gotten saved, but they ended up through persecution living in Africa. And it just drives him to witness more, to lead more people to Christ, that to know that God actually loves you. You know, the Muslims, they work and they hope to please God for eternal life or whatever. But to know that God gives us eternal life through Jesus Christ. I know this one was a little fuzzy today. But as you stand, I want to ask you today, Jesus used the commandments to bring out the one thing that that young man was hanging on to. What is it in your life, even my life, but what is it? What is that thing that holds you back from serving God, from giving all? Maybe you have given all. I don't know. But if God's speaking to your heart, why don't you just pray about it? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, what's holding you back? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Eternal life is easy. It's believing. It's placing your trust in Jesus Christ. It's not placing your trust in yourself, not in your works, not in anything that you can do, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but through His blood, through His sacrifice.